All right, so the premise of the hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday was this.
There are a number of prisoners who go into jail. They are radicalized, they become converted to Islam, and then to a radical form of Islam, and emerge from prison as terrorists.
It's New York Representative Peter King announcing his second hearing. It was held yesterday on the radicalization of Muslims in America, focusing on the U.S. prison system. But what is he saying there? Prisoners go to jail, they're radicalized, they convert to Islam, and then emerge as terrorists. Well, it's long been known that prisons create an environment for people to learn how to be criminals. It's also been the case that people who go to prison find God in some way. How is being a Muslim a specific trajectory to terrorism? Well, one of the witnesses yesterday was Michael Downing, commanding officer of counterterrorism at the L.A. Police Department. Here's what he had to say.
We're going to see what we've seen on the outside inside prisons. It is still low volume, but the issue is high consequence, very high consequence and high intensity for America if we don't address this problem. And I think we are on the front end of this problem right now.
Low volume, a small number of radicals, according to Mr. Downing, but high consequence if they do come out of prison and actually become suicide bombers. Well, joining us now to talk about this is Imam Frederick Thalfar al-Din, a former prison chaplain in the state of Oklahoma and throughout the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Imam, good morning.
Good morning to you.
You know, I don't want to force you to speak for all of the correction system or all Muslims for that matter, but is there a unique and significant trajectory of radicalization in prison that involves going in, converting to Islam, then becoming a terrorist? That's what Peter King would have us believe.
Well, you notice that he doesn't give you any statistics to back that up, nor did the gentleman, the other gentleman whose name you just mentioned that appeared as witness before the second panel. The statistics don't support the belief.
And, you know, the witnesses really downplayed this as a significant problem, you know, again and again at the hearing. So I guess I'm wondering, is selecting Muslims here ignoring the kinds of radicalization that take place in prison that don't involve Muslims, that may involve God, but don't even involve terrorism? There's radicalization if you are more likely to be a criminal when you come out of prison than when you go in. What's your experience with this?
My experience is that people who are incarcerated are drawn towards groups and associations that they feel some benefit or reward from joining. People join the groups for various reasons, for protection, because they share the ideology, or because they have a lot of good food during their special religious observances, or because, as you indicated, they find God.
We're speaking with Imam Frederick Zafir al-Din, a former prison chaplain in Oklahoma and in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And, you know, I'm wondering, Imam, if you feel like maybe if there's not an isolated problem with radicalization of Muslims in prisons, maybe there is a problem not just with Muslims, but with the training of clerics who serve in prisons. I mean, I would assume because you started a Muslim chaplain certification program that you feel that we could be training them better.
No, I don't. That's not the facet that I think should be looked at. What we're talking about, people may not want to call it this, but what we're talking about are expressions of faith. And in studies by Mark Fagerman, for example, from the French Revolution to now, every cultural group has elements within it that commit crime. And what we're talking about are expressions of faith, expressions of ideology and belief that move from acceptable, safe reasons of social behavior and actions to extreme ends. Crime is crime. The people who commit crime and are sentenced to prison sometimes are not changed by the prison experience because of just the thing you mentioned. Prisons teach criminal behavior. And so they continue criminal behavior on the outside. It just so happens that they may have such tags as in environmental activists, anti-animal rights groups, things like that. As a matter of fact, the FBI's one of their recent reports on terrorism in the United States points out that we have more to fear from animal rights activists and environmentalists than we do from people who express themselves in their faith by criminal behavior.
Talking with Imam Frederick Thalfar al-Din, who's a former prison chaplain in the state of Oklahoma and was last in the prison system in 2009 at the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Chicago. I'm wondering, in the Islamic environment, if a prison chaplain such as yourself, an imam who's actually part of the prison staff, whose job is to constrain people from senses of hopelessness, isolation, self-destruction in prison, compete with self-styled imams who are actually prisoners, who are trying to mobilize other prisoners and radicalize them, because we do know that there are clerics who actually are in the federal prison system.
Yeah, you did your research well, and that's one of the major challenges that chaplains across the denominational board find. There are those people who are self-declared, self-trained, declare that they have been anointed by God uniquely, that contend against chaplains for control.
And that's not, let me just stop you there. That doesn't necessarily confine itself to Muslims, right? They're a self-styled Christian.
Across the board.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
As a matter of fact, there's an unfortunate incident recently where a chaplain in a federal institution was caught taking mail out for a convicted criminal, which is something you don't do, and that is a rarity among the profession of prison chaplains. You're talking about people who are committed for the purposes of doing just what they are ordained for, and that is trying to bring religious education and spiritual guidance, pastoral care, if you will, to those who are incarcerated members of their flock.
All right, we're talking about this hearing yesterday of Congressman Peter King, chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, talking about the threat of Muslim American radicalization in the prison system. So do you think this is not worth a hearing? Is Peter King to be criticized for even calling this hearing, or do we have a distorted view of what the real problem is?
Peter King is a politician, and calling the hearing is what a politician would do for political motivation. The statistics are not there to support the conduct of those hearings,
which is what a lot of the witnesses said. Where do you think the major form of radicalization in America comes from?
It comes from preparing people for competition. Have you seen the recent Stanley Cup with the hockey players?
There you go. Perfect. The Canucks lose in Canada, and you see Canadians rioting on the streets. There you go. Imam Frederick Thofar Al-Din, former prison chaplain in the state of Oklahoma and throughout the Federal Bureau of Prisons, talking about the congressional hearings yesterday. Thank you, Imam.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.